scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. We gather together here at the end of our worship series, Simply Now. We focus on the word together, and I believe this scripture typifies that. So friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worship together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Any of you here like to tour museums or other public interest kinds of places? Anybody here go on tours together? Anybody here ever toured the White House? Anybody? Well, some of us have. Good. You know that when you go to the White House or to a museum or even to a major corporate facility, you're often allowed to take a tour. Of course, you are given sometimes even a visitor's badge or pass, and you are then escorted through the building on prescribed routes that they set out that make it okay. Certain things you can do, things you can't do. You'll find also places you can't go. You'll see doors with signs like no admittance, authorized personnel only. Some places you'll see red velvet ropes, you know, those things that keep us from touching the things that nobody's supposed to touch. Given those opportunities to see these special moments, maybe in history, we find other places we cannot go. We find there are rules, don't touch, no photos, no unauthorized souvenirs, which means in the old days you couldn't steal a White House smoking ashtray. That was something I guess used to happen a lot. Know this, know that. They give you the view they want you to see. And there are often good reasons for that, I'm sure. But what if we were given an all-access pass? One that made it clear when you put it on, you had permission to go wherever you wanted to go. Go through any door, step over any rope, walk behind any curtain. Now that'd be something. To be able to see how things work together, how they fit together, even behind the curtain. Not trying to find the old wizard in the Wizard of Oz, but just to see what the rest of the world doesn't see. A feeling of inclusion and acceptance. The past says, I'm allowed. I belong here. What an experience that would be. Well, our scripture this morning taps into that kind of experience. It says, friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. No more velvet ropes or locked doors or drawn curtains to keep us at a distance. He goes on to say that Jesus has cleared the way through his sacrifice on our behalf. He's given us immediate access to God. Now, the Jews of the day when this author wrote would have understood the symbolism here very well. But you see, the Jewish religious practice called for the people to worship at the temple. And in the temple, there was this place called the Holy of Holies, the throne room of God, if you will. And it was sequestered, separated from everything else, everyone else, by a thick curtain. And it was one of those no entry, authorized personnel only places. In fact, no one was ever allowed to go in there on pain of death, except for the high priest of Israel, who could only go in there one day a year to make formal sacrifice on behalf of the nation of Israel. To be anybody else going in, it meant certain death. In fact, even for the high priest on that prescribed day, they would tie a rope around his waist So that if he was inside that room making this sacrifice and did something wrong, committed some offense, and were killed on the spot for doing it wrong, they could pull his body out without somebody having to go in and take the risk of being killed themselves. This was a hands-off, red ropes, locked door, red lights flashing kind of place. But in the title, I remember in the scripture we hear this morning, the author is telling us that through his own sacrifice, Jesus has cleared the way, acting as our priest before God. He's torn the curtain that has kept us from having full access to God. He's made us acceptable to God inside and out. You may remember it's recorded in scripture that when Jesus was crucified, as he hung on the cross that day, the sky turned black for a space of 3 hours, from noon until three. And there was, at the end of that, when Jesus cries out, "It is finished," there was an earthquake, and it says, and the curtain, the veil, and the temple was torn from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top, as any of us might be able to do, but from top to bottom. God in his action tore away for good, didn't draw back, tore away for good this veil of separation because of Christ, through Christ. For the Hebrews hearing this story, they would have seen that clearly. And the author goes on in this scripture and says, because it's true, because Christ has torn away the separation between God and us, let's do it. I guess that's where Nike got it, I don't know. Being full of faith and confidence that we're accepted and we've been given an all-access pass, let's hold to the promises God has made and enter into an intimate relationship with God. And let's do it together. Clearly, he talks about this being together. He encourages us to help each other in love, and he calls us to worship God together. But that word together is a word that is harder to really grasp and experience now. As we experience things in our world where technology advances and we're amazed by that, but we find that we can do almost anything we choose separately. I haven't been to the grocery store in nearly a year. I haven't suffered because of it. But I have shopped every couple of weeks. I shop for my groceries sitting on my couch in my home and shop online the things that I want. And I pay online for that. And then as I've picked the time for pickup, I drive to the loading area at Kroger's and somebody comes out and loads it in my car for me. And if I want to pay a couple dollars more, they'll even bring it to my house for me. So I don't have to leave home at all. And in doing that, it's a wonderful thing. It saves me the concentrated time that I've got to put into going to the grocery store. It saves me trying to hunt the shelves for what I want among tens and tens of thousands of items. And nowadays, I can't read what the labels say at the bottom. I get to avoid dealing with navigating through the store and navigating around the other shoppers who don't think there's anybody else in the store but them. People who get caught up in what they're trying to decide to get and park in the middle of the aisle. Ever happened to you? Making important decisions like, do I want Del Monte or Stokely corn? Or do I need virgin olive oil or extra virgin olive oil? I don't even know what the difference is. I didn't know olive oil at all, except for cartoons, until a few years ago. But it's not just grocery shopping. We can hold meetings by phone and video conference to erase physical distance and save time and the cost of travel. We can sit at our desks, in our separate locations, in our sweatpants if we want to, and nobody's any the wiser. And we avoid spilled coffee by the clumsy guy next to us, the annoying non-verbal habits of others in the room. And we can watch sporting events on TVs that are as big as the walls in our house. And in doing that, we get a better view of the actual action than those who make the sacrifice to go to the games. Without leaving our home and driving 3 hours or more, and you Ohio State fans should be pleased today who made that trip, without having to sit in the cold and the wind and the rain, the snow, or in the blistering sun, without having to deal with 20,000 cars or more and traffic jams entering and leaving the event, we're spared the chaos and the cacophony of sights and sounds and smells that come with the event, all without getting brats and beer and nachos poured on us as we pass them down the aisle to somebody else. And finally, there's no more yelling down in front. We can even go to church in the comfort of our own homes now. And don't get me wrong, radio and TV broadcasts, even live streaming or downloaded worship services are a real gift to those who are shut in or homebound, or when weather is dangerous and it's too dangerous to drive, or when people are isolated in remote places. You'd be amazed to the number of people who look at our website from all around the world, some of whom are military. It's a gift to be able to do that from different locations. But there are many people now who are not homebound, who are skipping the work of getting all cleaned up and putting on your Sunday best and coming to church. Don't have to worry about sitting in somebody else's pew. We watch worship from our couches. Those people hit pause and stop the music or the message in midstream and get up and go refill their coffee cups, go to the bathroom. You know, if you just brought in a box of Krispy Kremes, you'd have the whole church experience. Except they're not together with somebody else. And doing life and ministry together is what our faith is all about. I want to invite you, if you're comfortable doing so and near enough somebody else, just for a moment, reach out and take a hand. You don't have to. It doesn't mean you're a bad person if you don't want germs. But if you're comfortable doing that, and just hold that hand for just a moment. No matter how big your TV screen is or how many pixels your monitor has on your display, you can't do that from home. Now you can just let go or hold hands for the service. I don't care, whatever you're comfortable with, but that's what I wanted to do there. And there are sometimes those moments where nothing less is meaningful. The presence of another, hearing another's voice, encouraging us or sharing their hurt, going through a meaningful experience together, working side by side. It comes in power for us when we're together. Together serving on a work team of locally, going to some senior citizens' homes and cleaning the yard work, cleaning up the place, or light maintenance because they can't do it themselves. And every year, my ladder looks taller and taller when I put it up against the wall. Helping out hands-on in our pantry or our soup kitchen or our recent habitat build. Or working with our children's or student ministries, making a difference in the life of a child or a youth. Things we can never duplicate from the lazy boy in our family room. There's coming together that makes us more than spectators only. When we come together to worship, we see and talk with and touch people we know and love and care for in meaningful ways. We're encouraged by their presence, and they're lifted up by ours. Coming together removes red velvet ropes, unlocks doors, ends our isolation as we experience belonging and knowing and being known in a way no conference call or broadcast can accomplish. Well, today is our final installment of this worship series, Simply Now, as we're challenging each other to go all in living out our faith, to be the Church of Jesus Christ in our own personal circles every day of our lives, not just on Sundays. To be the Church of Jesus Christ in larger settings than that, our community and our state and nation and around the world. It's also today the day the church around the world identifies as World Communion Sunday. A day when we are made even more aware than most times that there are believers like us in every nation, continent, and nation of the earth who are gathered together, sharing in a moment of worship, a special act of remembrance of what Jesus did in his sacrifice for us in tearing the curtain that separates us from God. Coming together from North and South America to Great Britain and other Western European nations, to Russia, to all of Asia, including China and India, to the Middle East, to Africa, to Australia, even Antarctica, and I don't mean the penguins. There are people there too. And every place I might have missed, we come together united as those who live as subjects in God's kingdom. And as we do in this Holy Communion thing we do around the world, all distractions, all distinctions, all separations fall away. As we come to the communion table, as we take communion together, there are no longer upper, middle, lower economic classes. There are no distinctions between those who have every degree you can imagine and those who've never finished school at all. There are no places at the table for Ford aficionados versus Volkswagen. We come together, no matter what our heritage is, our ideology might be, our politics, we come to the Lord's table to partake of this special act, to remember what Christ has given us, to remember what our need is. As those who are broken, sinful, in need of God's grace, his forgiveness and healing, we come together because his promise that has been done. Because through Christ, we have an all-access pass to stand in God's immediate presence.